You're on BFM Breakfast. Last week, I had the pleasure of catching up with Miss Kanina, who is an artist based out of Melbourne, Nam, Australia, from Tasmania. She's very cool. She put out an EP, Kanina, last year, which seems to have really launched her on the global stage. She's been touring with the likes of Amel and the Sniffers and Kneecap, taking her sort of hip-hop R&B staunchly indigenous and staunchly mana wahine messages to across the world. And she's coming to Splore next year, coming back to Aotearoa for Splore, which is happening across February 20th to 22nd, 2026. It's the last ever Splore. We didn't know this when I was talking with her, but now we know, which makes it all the more special that I was able to share this corridor with her. And we look forward to having her back in Aotearoa. If you haven't got your tickets for Splore yet, please do. It's going to be such a special, special time, and it's your last opportunity to head along. I'm really excited.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm devastated that it's the last one, but it's going to make it that much more of an epic party as well.
That's so sad. Anyone I've spoken to who has seen Miss Kanina live is like, that was the most amazing thing in my life.
I'm really interested to see what the live show is like in February as well, because she's just put out a new single called Backstreets. Came out a couple of weeks ago, and it's quite a departure from her previous EP. So I feel like there's going to be a really interesting mix of stuff. But anywho, we're going to listen to my corridor with Miss Kanina now. You're on BFM Breakfast.
My mama broke bread with the devil. She asked for a rock, she got a pebble. My daddy, he a gang member. I haven't seen that cunt since, I can't remember. He don't call, he don't even email. He's got his ass locked up in state jail. Government said I would fail.
Maybe we'll start by talking a little bit about Kanina, your debut EP from last year, because it seems to have really launched you on a global stage, and I'm interested to hear from you about how that reception has felt.
I mean, every single time that I receive an opportunity or somebody talks to me about my music, it feels very out of body, because it can't possibly be me, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not something that I have ever thought was achievable. I obviously have dreamt of this my whole life and want music to be a career of mine, to be able to travel the world, you know? When I came out with my first body of music, that has given me so much back. It really just reminds me that I'm like, oh my God, like, maybe I can have a career in music, and maybe I can travel around the world and live the life of luxury and eat all the food that I want to eat and meet all the people I want to meet and have every experience. And so having the whole body of work in and out means that I do have a 30 to 40 minute set that can be booked on a more of an international stage. Before, like when I was doing shows back in Tassie and stuff, I was doing a lot of covers because I didn't have a whole project. So I guess it's very out of body and very surreal for me, to be honest.
It's sort of interesting hearing you say that, though, because obviously, like, the music has such a badass energy about it, like, you know, that's exactly where you're supposed to be. So I kind of I expected you to just be like, yeah, like, that's what I expected.
No, it's not at all what I create music and create songs about the way that I feel on the inside and the way that I want people to perceive me and the way that I perceive myself and also want to become. Like, I want to be as confident as I possibly can, but I'm not always like that, you know. And I think that's what people sometimes get confused with, because they meet me in real life and like, oh, I thought you were going to be really intimidating. Like, why? Why did he do that? Because of my music? I'm like, that's crazy, because I'm just like everybody else. Like, it's weird to say that as well. Like, I definitely am surprised every single time that something happens. Not that I don't think I work hard. I think I work really hard and I think my team works really hard, but I'm just so grateful.
How has it felt doing all of this touring overseas and taking your messages of First Nations resistance to a global stage? Like, does it feel really different performing those songs and those messages elsewhere in the world than when you're back home?
It feels better. I think the the trap that Australia has tried to put on Australian and Indigenous musicians is that nobody's going to give a fuck when you're over in a different country. Nobody's going to care, so don't even bother. That's not the case. I think that's what Australia is trying to do to really gatekeep the music industry. When you think about the biggest artists in Australia, there's a very clear picture in your brain when you think about that. And that's to push a narrative that Australia is a white country and Australia is a blonde hair, blue eyed, Yahoo surfing, farming country. There are that demographic, but there also is a plethora of other incredible communities and people who live here. And so when I'm on stage and I'm talking about land back and land right, a lot of festivals and events will be like, you can say what you want, but don't take it too far. Don't shed light on it too far. Don't be too aggressive. Don't make people too uncomfortable. Whereas over in the UK, there's none of that. There's none of that gatekeeping. It was just like, I'm over here, I'm going to tell you what it's fucking like, and that's just the way it is. And everybody and every single city that we went to, I don't know whether it was because it was kneecap fans and they're already, you know, very much pro-Indigenous rights, pro-Landback, but everywhere that we went in front of those fans at the different cities and countries, they were all so receptive to the message.
That's so interesting. I also feel as though perhaps people aren't quite expecting maybe the sort of R&B elements of your music to have such a like punk message to it, when in reality, like, you're touring with bands like Emil and the Sniffers and Kneecap, and like, it just goes to show that punk attitudes, it's genre fluid. Like, punk itself doesn't necessarily just apply to like the rock bands that you're playing with. Like, it's something that you embody in hip hop and in R&B as well.
Yeah, I think punk is such an interesting term, and genre is such an interesting conversation to have as well, because like, when you think about punk music and you think about R&B, you think about hip hop, that was all created from black people. That was all created from the necessity to speak about the experience of the working class, of the oppressed, to fight against the governing oppressing bodies. And now it's turned into something completely different because of capitalism and because of money and fame, and it's not at all what it used to be. So it's really interesting that some people like nowadays are like, oh, like, you know, it's so punk. I'm like, hip-hop is punk. R&B is punk. Like, there's a little bit of punk in any performance or any artist who is willing to challenge the status quo. I think punk is, I wish I was like known as a punk artist. I feel like that's such a cool a cool title.
It's been really cool though, seeing you on stage with like Amy Taylor from Emil and the Sniffers and the two of you. It's just like, you're coming from such different sounds, but it just makes sense.
I think we're just girls.
Yeah.
I think we're just girlies that love girls.
I want to talk a little bit about this new single, Backstreets, which came out a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. It feels like it's quite a different direction for you. Like, the lyrics itself are quite personal and intimate, and then the sonically, it's definitely more in that sort of R&B realm. Is this the direction that we're heading in now?
I don't want to confuse people, but no, I'm not kind of heading into like that. I think what I've always said from the get-go is that I am so inspired by a bunch of different music. And as a free person on this planet, you know, I have to remind myself every single day, we are free to create whatever we want. Why should we just make one genre? Why? For commercial success? I very much just make music that makes me feel good, or I'm trying to stay true to the emotion that is attached to the song. I really wanted to make, you know, when I go into the studio, I'm very much just like, this is how I feel, led to reflect the feeling and see what we make. And, you know, Lucy was on the guitar, we're coming back and forth. I was with another woman in the studio called Shan, and I was talking about how the guitar was making me feel, and we were doing more of like, kind of like laying down melodies, and it was just such a sad melody, but it had still some sort of like glimp of hope in it. And that's kind of where I wrote Backstreets, because I was like, that's how I feel about my relationship, or my ex and my old relationship, my toxic relationship, that like, even though what I went through was like yuck, I still knew in the back of my brain that I was going to get out of that. I was just waiting for the right time. I was waiting for the right moment to get out.
Yeah, and I feel like as well, there's sort of like, perhaps maybe fans were like a little bit surprised with this one, because it does feel so personal, and a lot of your stuff off of Kanina was like so staunch and like badass, but there's a newfound strength and sort of like being able to be vulnerable and like talk about that really personal stuff with this new song, eh?
I write songs that are empowering and staunch because I want to feel that, and I want people to know that I am like that, but also I want people to know that I am soft and I am vulnerable and I have been through some shit, and that's also staunch to be able to voice that. It's also so empowering to be able to like put that out, because I know for a fact that this motherfucker's heard the song. The fact that he's heard it and he knows how I feel, he can't even say anything about it, that's staunch in itself. It's just a different kind of staunch, you know?
Yeah.
It's I'm waiting my time.
Oh, I love that so much. We're so excited to have you back in Aotearoa at Splore Festival happening in February next year. What are you excited for to make your return to Aotearoa?
I'm going to go straight to the shed and I'm going to get on the spots. That's the first thing I'm going to do when I get to Aotearoa. Hang out with the whānau. Eat some kina and some raw fish, hang out with the mob, go to the marae, and then I'm gonna head to Splore. I love Aotearoa, my whole heart and soul. You know, we Aboriginal people would have been trading and hanging out with a lot of the Moanan and Micronesia, Polynesia. So going back over there just feels very much like what we were doing before colonization. You know, we're all in the same boat. So I'm really excited to come back there. And then also having the opportunity to perform at Splore, which is arguably the best music festival in Aotearoa. So being able to come and perform there and share my music with a lot of the mob over there would just be incredible. So, yeah. I'm still recovering from last time you fucked me up. I'm addicted to this time.